Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts, guests, and participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises or the underwriters of this station. From KKRN Community Radio in Round Mountain, California, this is Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg. Community Works Radio is a locally produced show that focuses on people who work for the common good in their communities, people who join in KKRN's mission of fostering positive social change and healthy communities. Today, my guests are Beth Messick and Maggie Osa. They are members of CIOFWP, which is Citizens in Opposition of the Fountain Wind Project. And we will be talking about the proposed windmill project in Round Mountain and Montgomery Creek. Beth is a longtime resident, a retired of this area, a retired flight nurse, and long been known as the local rabble rouser. And Maggie is a retired federal employee who moved to the area just 5 years ago, but has taken an interest in this project and not liking it so much, I guess we could say. So welcome, Beth and Maggie.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to start. I thought it'd be a good thing to start with a description of these towns that we live in up here. For people that may not have been here, just a short description of what we have going here in Round Mountain and Montgomery Creek.
So this is Maggie. I'd like to start. We actually picked this area just because we came from a big city, San Diego. We retired up here, and we're looking for a quiet community with a small town feel, and we feel that we have found that in the area. We're here in Montgomery Creek. We love it up here. The scenery is amazing and beautiful, and the wildlife. So we're just really attracted to the area. So we're really happy to be here.
And you live in Montgomery Creek, correct?
Yes, Ellen.
Okay.
And my story is probably very similar, but from years and years ago. So we lived all over the United States as kids and always came back to Shasta County. Went to college at Shasta College in 69, and my grandfather had bought a ranch in Montgomery Creek in 52, right after I was born. And we were always there, and this community has been a big forest. But the one thing that's been really interesting about this community is that they, on their own, have taken it upon themselves to be very conscious of the footprint that they leave in the community. I, myself, have a 40-acre ranch I'm not living on at the moment, but live for 25 years off the grid. I had my own windmill. I had my own Pelton wheel. I had my own solar. And when none of those were working, I either did without or ran a generator. And I did without a lot. And there are probably a third of this community is, in fact, off the grid, or very conscious and supplement what power they have with an off-the-grid kind of thing. It's covered. It's a community that everybody knows everybody. Some people have been here for seven generations. And yet, because of the threat of the windmill, they're actually looking at walking away from the property that their great-great-great-great-whatever grandfather bought. So,
okay, yeah, and I will just add in there, you know, I lived off the grid out of Round Mountain for 16 years myself, and still have property where we had hydros, Pelton wheel, and a Banky turbine, and solar,
right,
and lived off the grid, so way back there. okay, so now what's going on is that a company called Avangrid Renewables is proposing the giant windmill project here in this area. So would you please describe the project? Who are they? What do you think they are doing to do, you know, what are they hoping to do with the project, and why?
The Avangrid is actually a part of, they're a subsidiary of Iberdrola, which is a company from Spain that is proposing up to 100 industrial wind turbines, up to close to 600 feet. The tallest is about 591 feet, which is like 10 feet shorter than the Shasta Dam.
Wow.
And twice as high as the Statue of Liberty. So they have outlaid 100 of the turbines in approximately 33,000 acres of timberland in the Montgomery Creek, Moose Camp, Oak Run area that will cross 299. So it will be both on both sides of 299. And they have installed meteorological towers several years ago to try to measure the wind up here. So that's actually what the project is proposed for.
When you're talking about the size, how is it compared to the size of the Hatchet Mountain?
They're actually about 160 feet taller.
So it's like 1.5 times as big.
Right. And these are actually some of the tallest turbines in the country. It just has been recently that some of the other communities around the United States are up against the same battle as we are with up to 600-foot turbines.
Well, that sounds so big. Okay, so now in response to this company, they're going through the process now. It's still a few years off before it would actually be built. Is that correct?
No.
1 year off?
They're prepared to drop as soon as the Board of Supervisors say yes, and that could be as early as maybe December.
Right. Oh, okay. Good. Well, we'll have to hear more about that, because I thought there was one more impact hearing. Is there impact hearing coming?
The draft EIR is due out somewhere this summer. They have public hearings, issue the final draft, which is anticipated September, October, somewhere in that area. Then the Planning Commission makes their recommendation to the board, and the board makes their decision.
Okay, well, thanks for clarifying that. But anyway, they have formed this group called Citizens in Opposition to the Fountain Wind Project, CIO-FWP. And it says the purpose of CIO-FWP is to promote safety, health, and cultural welfare of the affected Intermountain communities and surrounding areas by exposing how the negative impacts of the Fountain Wind Project far outweigh the claimed benefits. So, what would you like to tell us about your group, or would you like to just start getting into your concerns?
Well, I was already involved with the tank project, the stop tank project, a number of years ago. And so when I went to this meeting, the first public meeting that they had, I was appalled and just sort of caught off guard like a bat out of the blue, not anticipating. And so I waited a couple of days and I didn't hear anybody raising a ruckus. And I waited, and, 48 hours passed and 72 hours passed. And like you said, I am the community rebel rouser. And so I put a note up on the board, call me, we got to do something about this. And that's how it started.
Okay. And so have you been having some other meetings since the original public hearing that was at Montgomery Creek School a couple months ago, right?
So we've been having meetings once a month at the clinic. The clinic's been kind enough, although
Hill Country Health and Wellness Center.
Although they're not taking a position on this, they do allow us to use one of their rooms to hold public meetings, which we do the second Tuesday of every month. And then we also have some smaller meetings, breakout group kind of thing.
Okay. Great. And do you know how many members you have? How many people have been coming?
The first meeting we had probably 40, and we believe the last meeting was between 110 and 125. So since the first meeting, we have sent out 1,200 mailers to Big Bend, Montgomery Creek, Round Mountain, Oak Run,
Bella Vista,
the residents, to get them informed, because a lot of them did not get notification even about the informational meeting, because the county is only required to send out flyers to the community members if they're within 300 feet of the project site. However, they sent them out to 2 miles. But these towers are going to be impacting communities across the county, not just Shasta County, but other counties. We had one of the members on the steering committee indicate that they can see them from Siskiyou County. They were just up there, and they can currently see the Hatchet Ridge turbines. And these are going to be taller and twice as many practically. So, again, up to 100 turbines. And so we have we host the potluck every the second Tuesday of each month, and we start the meeting at 6 o'clock and give the updates that we are proposing, the research that needs to be done, and getting as much information out to the community as possible. So we appreciate the time that we have here today.
Great. Well, just in case you are just tuning in, I want to let you know that you're listening to KKRN Community Works. KKRN Community Radio. The show is Community Works Radio. And my guests today are Beth Messick and Maggie Osa of the Citizens in Opposition to the Fountain Wind Project. So we're learning about their group and about what their concerns are about this project. So that's what's going on if you're just tuning in. So I know that there's quite a number of concerns that you have. So maybe if you'd like to talk about that, I think it would be good.
Well, I'm going to start with just the ludicrousness of this whole project. Yes, we want green energy. We have to have it.
You mean you don't want fossil fuel energy?
You know, when I started this, I thought that windmills were really green. And maybe the little ones that are sitting on my house or the smaller ones are. But when you look at the amount of concrete that goes into these windmills, they're not going to be steel. They're going to be concrete. And the footprint that concrete has already on the environment, but it was shocking. But irregardless of that, it's not needed. PG&E has already met their 2030 goals.
They have, for what? Their 2030 goals for green energy?
The California requirements for 2030 for everybody having to have a certain amount of their electricity is produced by renewables. But they've already readjusted their contract with Hatchet Wind through the CPUC because of Hatchet Wind being unable to deliver the amount of contracted energy. But the substation can't handle that amount of energy that they were getting. And then when you go and look at, and this was the big one that I got yesterday, you look at the bankruptcy, and PG&E has declared bankruptcy against Avangrid, against Hatchet Wind, and they state in the bankruptcy papers that they don't need this power.
Even without these two, or even without Hatchet Ridge, they would meet their goals for CPU, is that what you called it?
Yes.
Commission for Public Utilities.
Yes.
That is. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so actually, there is a major problem with green energy and the grid the way it stands now. And a lot of the utility companies are paying Arizona to take our excess power because it comes at a time that it screws up the substations. They can't handle it. It makes it fluctuate too much. And they can't store it, because the renewables don't necessarily produce when it's needed, and they have no method of storing it. So they actually, I've forgotten if it was last year or the year before, paid Arizona $18 million to take our extra renewable energy.
And what are the claims of the company about why they're doing it? Avangrid, do you know?
I mean, their company is, when they first proposed it, was that it was available. This was a viable area for producing wind. They did have a contract going with PG&E, and they happened to get a whole bunch of subsidy money to put it up. And we actually, if we pulled papers that we had from Tank that showed that our actual area they want to put the project is a minimal wind area as far as the CPUC is concerned. And that's why they have to go so tall. But it's not just that. When you look at the fire impact, when you look at the impact to the animals, we're not in a county migratory route. We're not in a state migratory group. We're not in a national migratory group. That area that they want to put those windmills is a globally significant migratory route for birds. You have sandhill cranes. You have all the geese and the snow geese and all of the birds that go up to the Arctic and go into Canada fly over that mountain.
Wow.
Not over Hatchet Wind.
Mm-hmm. And so, though, to get back to, the point I just want to ask, though, is that this company that's doing it is doing it in for profit.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's what they're doing.
Right.
It's all about profit.
Right.
They are a company. They propose that they're out of Oregon, but they're really the major company is out of Spain. They get our U.S. taxpayer federal money to put up these projects because of the green energy thing, which may be ending in January of 2020. So they may not get their money if it's not improved in time. But they're also, it's just absolutely amazing the amount of greed that is involved here. So it's not just that profit, but there's people all over our county that's looking at the money that they could realize from coming off of those windmills, not looking at the long term. They're getting subsidized money to put the mills up. And in their contract, they say that they're going to take the mills down 25 years from now. Only there is not one single documented case of any concrete windmills being disassembled anywhere in the world. And it would cost them more money than what it took to build them to take just the mill down. You'll never, even with an atomic bomb, remove that concrete block that they're building the tower on top of.
Wow. So what do you think the chance? So go on. Tell me more concerns, and then we also have to talk about what can people do.
Okay.
And do it in any order you think.
I think one of the, and Beth had alluded to some of it, is the grid itself. And this was actually pointed out before the Hatchet Wind project was approved, that adding renewables to the current transmission grid adds instability. With the PG&E bankruptcy, it's been documented by PG&E and in the bankruptcy itself and through the bankruptcy judge that the transmission lines have not been maintained, as we've seen in the devastating Camp Fire. But the California ISO Independent Service Operator is right now, they just approved their 2018-2019 transmission grid upgrade. And Round Mountain is one of the two major upgrades that's going to be proposed, and it will not even be completed until 2024. That's going to be a $160 to $190 million project. That substation will have to be upgraded. It's out for right now competitive solicitation. And
What would happen then during the between now and then if the windmills do go up?
You're just adding more instability to unstable grid.
What is the can you explain the instability, what that means? It sounds scientific.
The problem, and we pointed this out during the scoping comments, and this was documented in the California Public Utilities Commission document itself, is that when you keep adding renewables or any injection into an unstable grid, you have highs and lows. And so if there's too much power, it causes an instability, and you can actually get some thermal overload in the grid itself. So Tank... Transmission of northern Oregon, they when Hatchet Ridge went in, they actually addressed their comments to the county that adding that would provide additional instability to that grid. So adding another industrial wind farm right at the junction point, and Fountain Wind is proposing to add 51 miles of underground transmission lines and 16 miles of overhead transmission lines to tie in to the current grid.
Will they tie in at the substation in Round Mountain?
Yes.
And so it's, when it's unstable, it basically means it's not safe?
It's going high and low. Okay. I mean, so they would probably indicate that it's safe. But looking at the CPUC's documents and the California ISO, it's documented in there. Round Mountain and there's another one that are the two major upgrades for this year. So those are out. One is out for a solicitation now. One will be coming up in just a few months. But again, those upgrades to the grid will not be available until 2024 for them to provide a higher power transmission lines for them to tie in. And that's actually across, this is all across PG&E service territories. These upgrades are just two major ones. They're upgrading the other areas for smaller projects across all PG&E territories. It's because of the renewables that are being added.
It's hard to wrap your head around why it would be done then, because does that mean they can't produce energy for the next 3 years because the grid can't handle it, or it'll just be more dangerous and they'll be sending energy through the grid?
They can shut the windmills down depending upon what agreement is reached between the CPUC and PG&E and the company and so on and so forth. Or they can continue to add, and then you will have brownouts when they've got a low dropping of power, and you're going to have thermal overload and dangers of fire in certain areas when you have a high fluctuation, and that's when you're selling your power to Arizona. And imagine, so we get out of that, and let's go into the fire. So we're sitting ducks, kind of like paradise. We already had a fire 25 years ago that was devastating for the community, and we haven't really completely recovered yet. But we still are at the highest significant fire risk that there is in the state. We're right along where paradise was. And we have similar things in that we've got one way in and one way out. And so even if you only got one windmill a year that itself it has a fire in the nacelle itself, or if it somehow gets struck by lightning and things don't work, then we've got big fire dangers going on here. We've even increased our fire danger. And when we had the Fountain Fire, we had all kinds of routes in and out because all the forest roads were open. But as soon as the new logging company took over that is renting this property to the windmills, they started locking all the gates. So now all the extra escape routes that there are locked, and nobody can go out and can go down.
Do you think they named their company after the same thing the Fountain Fire was named after?
Real bright of them, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was actually one of the residents who lived through the Fountain Fire actually pointed that out in the scoping comments. They were appalled that they would name this Fountain Wind Project after. They're like, you know, we went through a devastating fire 25 right. years ago, and you, why would you? It just brings back the trauma that we went through.
Right. Beth and I were here. I was evacuated. The clinic burned to the ground.
We remember.
We really remember. And it was called the Fountain Fire because it started on what used to be called Water Fountain Hill, where there was a water fountain that you could stop and use if your car was overheating going up the hill.
Right.
And it's not even there anymore. So anyway, that's just a little aside that just hit me. So.
And one of the things from as Beth indicated, from a fire perspective, it doesn't even have to be the turbine that's on fire. It could be construction It could be getting to on the roads to build them, to pour concrete. I mean, you're just introducing additional fire risk that would not have been there had this permit not been approved, that wasn't there prior.
Yeah, so maybe some of the wires would be more dangerous, it sounds like, too, and that could be where the fires could come from.
Right.
We certainly all in this Northern California area know that it's happening every year now, and it's just makes it more and more scary. So
Australia actually has restricted industrial turbine development in their forested areas because they had a 200,000-acre fire due to an industrial wind turbine. And just recently, just from the beginning of the year, I hear about or read about fires in several places all over the world. So we have several areas that we're tracking of communities, not just in the United States, but all over the world that are fighting industrial wind turbines in their communities.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to just take another little break, and I want to remind people that might just be tuning in, you're listening to Community Works Radio on KKRN Community Radio, and today my guests are Beth Messick and Maggie Osa, who are in the group Citizens in Opposition to the Fountain Wind Project, and we're talking about this proposed project for Round Mountain and Montgomery Creek. And so I'm going to take a short musical break right here. And if you stay tuned, when you come back, Beth and Maggie and I will once again be discussing this issue. And we'll be sure to include information about their next meetings, how to get in touch with them, and so on. So stay tuned. That was Drowsy Maggie by the Shasta Brothers. So welcome back to Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg, your host of Community Works Radio on KKRN Community Radio. And my guests today are Beth Messick and Maggie Osa of the Citizens in Opposition to the Fountain Wind Project. And we're talking about a proposed wind project that's they're looking to build around the area that we all live in, which is Round Mountain, Montgomery Creek, Oak Run, and a little bit up on Hatchet, too, I guess. Anyway, it's a lot of windmills that they're talking about. Before we get back to them, though, I want to remind you of an upcoming event for KKRN. We're coming up on our pledge drive week next week, and we usually end it with one of our all-you-can-eat pancake breakfasts. This year, it's going to be a special Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day pancake breakfast. So for the first time, we're going to be having mimosas for mamas at our pancake breakfast, something new and different. The whole community is welcome. It takes place at the Mountain Community Center in Round Mountain from 8 a.m. until noon. You can stop by. We always have a great time. Local music, raffles, door prizes, and really great home ground wheat and gluten-free corn cakes that are really great. All you can eat. So put that on your date book, and let's get back to the windmill question. So what else are some of the problems that could come with these things?
Okay, so if you're into Native American culture, this is going to be going over historical and archaeological and current practice land. Now, I was actually being ignorant and not really remembering when I said that there hadn't been archaeological studies done at a meeting in the past. My daughter had done a cursory one when she was through for tank, but I've totally forgot that we're not identifying archaeological sites specific anymore because of the risk of people coming in and ravaging the sites. So there are ancestors that are buried on these sites that they're planning on digging up. Mm. And they have notified and let them know, but because they are unwilling to identify a specific site, I'm guessing that they don't think it's real or whatever. But if you remember, we had a school teacher locally about 30 years ago that was digging up every single Native site he could find. And I even found at the school about 7-8 years ago, one of the last things that he had found, and it was hidden in a spot in the school, and I was able to give it, and it was put back where it belonged.
Yeah, that's really stunning. That's not a good thing, and I understand that the Pitt River Tribal Council is opposing the windmills.
Oh, absolutely they
because
are.
Because of this, because that's a very harmful, hurtful thing to
Plus, they practice their prayers and sacred ceremony in this area, and you're going to be adding noise at times that are not appropriate. You're going to be actually in their culture maybe threatening the mountain because of all of the beating, and they're going to be setting off dynamite in the bedrock. They're going to be drilling 50 feet deep into the bedrock, and which leads right into the geology and hydrology that's against this thing. You know, you've got some really silly stuff in a way. I mean, it may seem silly to mention it now, but if it were to happen, it would be very impactful. One of the significant impacts that they bought was a rupture of a known earthquake fault. I had no idea we had an earthquake fault right underneath where they want to put the windmill. And that these things could cause seismic ground shaking. Because...
Wow.
And because of that, they could cause seismic ground failure, which is like the liquidation factor and everything. So you could have landslides, which I can tell you on my own property, I already have landslides. Don't need any more. And then you go into some of the hydrology of all of that debris going into 5 blue line streams. That any fishermen in the area, at least from years ago, were that was the prime place that they went to fish. So you're impacting all, you're making maybe, you're putting all of the septic systems at risk. Because by shaking and changing the ground consistency, they no longer are able to perk effectively.
Wow, that's really... something to think about.
Oh, there are so many of them. The hazardous material that they're going to be bringing on site and have it within a quarter of a mile of our school.
Do you know what the hazardous materials are?
Glyphosate, dynamite, there are some other weed killers that are there. I don't have all of the list
well,
of all of them.
That's enough.
You know,
one or two will do.
They're going to, each windmill has at least a 5-acre site that they razz all the way to the ground. So if you do 100 of them, that's 500 acres that they razz strictly to the ground just for the windmill site. And then they've got to clear all of this land for the transmission lines and for the lines that go underground. So they are using all kinds of herbicides and pesticides up there to get rid of anything and everything that could put a compromise on this project.
Whoa, That's significant.
And part of it also is they're going to, just as Beth indicated on the clearing for the each turbine site, to get up to 100 turbines, they would clear 2,250 acres just to use for the sites. And so that's actually carbon, forests that we're looking, that's producing, that we want for the forest that they would clear. In addition to, the recent wildfires in Northern California, we've lost probably about 900,000 acres.
Not to mention the clear cutting that's going on all around.
Correct.
Here. The forests that were here are not the same anymore.
Right.
So there's right. not that much more to destroy, I would think.
You know, so it's just unfortunate that, as Beth indicated, a lot of this is not needed. And so I think that the bigger picture is, California, and they kind of need to do a pause to determine what's their master plan. Are they meeting their goals? What's the bankruptcy for PG&E? And Shasta County currently has no zoning to identify industrial wind turbines. The guidelines for industrial turbines across the United States or across the world, those guidelines are not set up in Shasta County. They want to kind of shoehorn it in under a public utility because the land is classified as timberland and unclassified. And so they kind of shoehorn these projects and under unclassified without putting the proper guidelines in place and zoning. Is Shasta County going to be a wind farm industrial site? Because Hatchet Ridge is one. If the Fountain Wind goes in as another one, we know that NextEra, which is trying to put a proposal in for the Round Mountain substation, they are the biggest wind developer in the world. And so are they going to be the next one coming in? And then who else?
Right. Well, so what? I don't know if this is a good time to go back to the process that remains to get them approved. Who's going to approve it? What is your group going to be trying to do between now and the time of the environmental impact report? And then which group? The Planning Commission?
Planning Commission first and the Board of Supervisors. So our major intent is to educate everybody. And we honestly believe if you look at all of the potential impacts, even the ones that can and could possibly be mitigated, when you look at the whole picture of the thing, it actually makes no sense other than a quick sort of money grab that leaves this huge, ugly impact for the next generation to deal with, and maybe generations ad infinitum if they can't get rid of that concrete. So we want people to come to our meetings on the second Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock.
So the next one will be May 14th, is that correct?
That is
and
correct.
And it's at Hill Country Community Clinic in the Great Room, the community room. And that's in Round Mountain, 29632, Highway 299 East.
And then visit the website that we have that is stopfw.com. Or you can just Google Stop Fountain Wind, and that'll take you to that spot. And start getting yourself educated. And it's amazing. So we haven't even talked about the transportation issues. So
of the windmills?
Of the windmills. So 299 is the access when anything happens on I-5, whether it's a storm, snow, a fire, whatever.
An accident.
I-5 gets shut down. Everybody gets sent down to 89 to 299. They can't send them down 44. I'm not actually sure why, but there seems to be a big rig or some kind of problem with going down 44, so they automatically come down 299. Great and fine. You know it's going to be terrible with traffic and that kind of stuff. But then you add the compact of trying to transport, just the blades are 171 feet.
Yeah, it was a big deal when they were doing the Hatchet Mountain project, and I was wondering about that. It was big. They were long. There was like two trucks long, it seemed like, and they drove them up one or two at a time with police escorts a lot of the time, right?
Right, and actually they shut the highway down at one point completely because they couldn't do it with enough escorts. So they themselves have identified as a potentially significant impact conflict for the effectiveness of performance of circulation, in other words, the move of traffic, the conflict of congestion and management. So the people that are going to work in Reading from Burnie are going to have problems and vice versa. Mm-hmm. There's a substantial increase of hazards due to the sharp curves and dangerous intersections or incompatibility with other traffic on the road, like big ag equipment or other types of things that are used 299 regularly.
Right, and access to health care in Round Mountain and/or Burnie.
And that was going to be the very last one that they mentioned, was the impact on emergency services during this transportation time. It's like, if you can't fly the helicopter, you're not going to get out of here in a timely fashion.
Yeah. Wow. Well, in case you're just tuning in, you're tuning in to the last 10 minutes of Community Works Radio here on KKRN Community Radio today. Beth Messick and Maggie Osa from CIO. FWP, sorry.
That's okay.
I've become really reliant on reading it. Yeah. The Citizens in Opposition of the Fountain Wind Project. So we are talking about some of the big problems that could be coming, and their group is having monthly meetings the second Tuesday of each month, so that'll be May, June, July, in preparation for an environmental report this summer. And would you encourage people that look into this and feel like they also would like to oppose the windmills should come to those meetings?
If they would like, they can come to the meetings. They can sign the petition on the website. There's all kinds of ways that they could volunteer and could impact. And then once we sort of, at one of the meetings, put out the word, then we're going to be starting going and educating the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors before
the hearings.
Before the hearings, before the reports, and that a number of them have never even been up into this area.
Oh, wow. So if you are interested, you can go to stopfw.com. You can come to the meetings at Hill Country on the second Tuesdays, and those are in the evening, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is there a phone number in case somebody does not have computer?
The ability, if you have the inability to use the computer, you can try my cell phone. It doesn't work at home and it's sketchy, but that one is 530-604-8392.
Okay.
And it may take me a day or two to get to them. So.
Okay, leave a message for Beth if you have questions and you don't have access to the website, or you can't remember when the meetings are or whatever. And
There's still some other things.
Go ahead.
So. One of the other particular areas is the public health. So what they're finding recently, and they just had the first international symposium, are the health risk regarding wind turbines. So if you talk to the big wind industry, of course, they're going to say that there isn't any documented health risk. But if you do the research by the doctors and the community members who currently live near wind turbines, they will tell you that they're having health risk and health issues so much that wind turbine companies have had to buy them out of their houses due to shadow flicker, infrasound. Infrasound is actually...
Where is this happening?
It's all over. People who live around wind turbine developments are having health issues so much that they're having to leave their homes. There's actually one community that's fighting a development because their daughter is subject to seizures. And if somebody is exposed to shadow flicker more than so many hours in the year.
What's shadow flicker?
Shadow flicker is the rotation of the turbines. And so if the sun's behind it or if there's a light behind it, that's the flicker that you see. You actually see it on 299 from the Hatchet Ridge. If you're on the road and the sun is setting, then when you're heading up Hatchet Mountain, there will be shadow flicker on the road. But some of these turbines are going to be 1,100 feet from some of the properties.
And I was wondering about that.
Yes.
That's as close as they'll get. Are the Hatchet Ridge windmills that close to houses?
No, and that's one of the major differences between the Hatchet Ridge and the Fountain Wind is the Hatchet Ridge does not have any residence or home anywhere near what the Fountain Wind Project is proposing. The Fountain Wind Project has several, particularly in the Moose Camp area, that there's probably 8 to 10 specifically that are within 1,100 feet of their property lines. So in addition to the health issue, particularly from the infrasound and the increased stress and the noise, because a lot of people who live near turbines say that it's like a helicopter that never lands. And so they will be introducing noise, shadow flicker. And then the other is the aesthetics. You know, there's going to be, if people don't think that's going to be a pack, it's visual pollution. You're going to be having these lights day and night because they have to have it because of the aircraft. And so you're going to have these lights on top of these towers that on the Hatchet Ridge, some people can see these 45 miles away. I mean, this doesn't just affect Bernie. It affects, like I said, all the neighboring communities and some in different counties. But the other area is decrease in property values. A lot of properties have declined, some up to 60 or 70% because they're in an industrial wind farm.
Who's studying that?
There's actually in the county scoping report, we have a realtor that provided a forensic study that was done in Wisconsin. And it's actually in the scoping comments of how the property values decreased. And so it was done near an industrial wind turbine in Wisconsin. And we have other studies to indicate that the property values do decline.
And even so, in areas where they're not high, all of California has high, but we also know that our rural areas are not particularly high real estate values.
Well, our area is already having significant impact from the fire risk.
Yes.
And the people here having extreme severe difficulty getting fire insurance.
So and, you mean an impact on making their places less valuable?
Yes. Yeah. And then you add the windmill on top of it, and it's like slitting everybody's throat, you know.
Yeah.
One lady is not going to be able to send her daughter to college because the equity in her home is gone now.
Right.
Just the threat of the windmill.
Yeah, and my point was just that I can't imagine going down from what our home values are here compared to the big cities.
Right.
You know, so anyway, we're just about running out of time, ladies, and I would like to... you know, I'll end with the basic information, but if you want to have one last word, please do.
It's a ludicrous, unneeded project. Why go there when it's not needed?
Thanks, Beth.
And again, as we started, you know, it's such a beautiful area, and we have incredible wildlife, bald eagles, spotted owls, I mean, the raptors, the migratory birds, the trees. You know, and it's so peaceful here. And again, like Ben said, it is ludicrous to have that up in this area because that's one of the things that drew us here.
Okay. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. So if you have been listening to Beth and Maggie talk today about Citizens in Opposition to the Fountain Wind Project, you can get in touch with them at stopfw.com or call 530-604-8392. And their next meeting is May 14th at Hill Country Clinic in the evening. So if you're interested in showing up and attending and learning more, you are more than welcome to come to that. The other thing I wanted to say is this show will be archived on my page on KKRN Community Works Radio. And on that page, I will be writing down this information for you, too. So if you didn't have a pencil to write down the website or the phone number, I'm going to put it. You have to find my show on the KKRN.org website, and you'll be able to get that information. So I want to thank you today for tuning in to listener-supported community radio. As quick as I can, I want to just remind you that we have a few events coming up at the end of in May, starting with our pledge drive next week, for which we have great premiums and a big raffle. We're having a special Mother's Day all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast on Sunday, May 12th from 8 to noon at the Mountain Community Center in Round Mountain. That's always fun. It's a great community celebration of community radio and the people that support it and work as volunteers here. And then on May 19th, we're going to have our second annual Spring Music Showcase with Miracle Mile Records. That's Sunday, May 19th, 3 to 6 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at Old City Hall with local musicians Jim Dyer, Anna Jay, Annie Cody, and Honey Bee. We'll have free snacks and wine for sale. So thank you for listening to Community Works Radio. If you would like to talk about your community organization, please call me at 337-1101. Coming up next on KKRN is the Tom Hartman Show. And next week will be our pledge drive. And I think if you tune in at 4 o'clock, we'll be having a special Community Works Radio session for KKRN's pledge drive. So I would like to thank you for tuning in today, and in the meantime, remember, it's going to take us all.
We need the Buddhists and the Baptists, Quakers and Catholics too. Atheists and agnostics, Muslims and Jews. We need people of all nations, all colors and all creeds, to put an end to war now, put an end to greed. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets. Gonna take us all.